woman speaking. My love forever, the day I first saw you at the end of the market house, my eye observed you, my heart approved you. I fled from my father with you, far from my home with you. I never repented it. You whitened the parlor for me, painted rooms for me, reddened ovens for me, baked fine bread for me, basted meat for me, slaughtered beast for me. I slept in duck's feathers till midday milking time, or more if it pleased me. Now the woman speaking is the widow of Art O'Leary, and that is the beginning of the lament for Art O'Leary, which is a poem composed in Irish, and it's held up in literature as being a great example of this thing, a keen, that is a sort of a formal poetry that was from the old days and then sort of died out when a famous person died. They'd write a poem about him, a keen. So this is his wife writing after he's dead. Actually, writing. She composed it verbally. It was an oral culture and was later written down. And she was famous because it became famous that way. Her name, he's Art O'Leary. Her name is Eileen Duff Niconnell. So she's dark-haired Eileen of the O'Connell clan. And the O'Connells and the Learys, this is in Cork, were upper-class, old Irish aristocracy, Catholics in the time, which is around the American Revolution. So it's the time of the penal laws in Ireland when that particular class was put down quite strongly by the oppressing society. So this keen has, it's sort of a love story, as maybe you can tell, but it also has political implications because the way his murder came about, or his death came about, it was controversial. So the story about him that is not contested is that he was from the upper class. He went over to the continent, as many young men did of that class, to fight in the armies in the continent because the other career paths in Ireland were not open to, you know, upper class Irish people at that time. So he fought, and he was like a captain in the, I think it was the Hungarian Hussars or Hussars, whatever they are. So he was sort of a developed man with skills. Came back, married Eileen, they had two children, and the third child was in the womb when this incident happened. Now the incidents, the story about the incidents, I've heard it different ways, and you can, you know, it's either a orange or a green way, you can hear it. The very green way that I heard it was that when he came back from Hungary, he had he was given, you know, a uniform and a sword and a horse, as was befitting all of the work that he had done. And at that time, one of the penal laws was that you, if you were of this class, you could not own a horse that was worth more than £5. So if someone of the other class demanded a fine horse from you, you would have to sell it for £5. Well, he wasn't going to sell this horse, which he had received as an honor, and was worth much more than that, and he was too proud to do that. So he refused to sell it, which made him an outlaw in the eyes of the sheriff of Cork, which was sort of the new authority that had come in at that time. And so he was an outlaw, and was him and his wife and the family were planning on leaving there, but hadn't gotten away before one night he was out on the cross and was ambushed by the sheriff's men. Now that's the very green way that you hear it. The very orange way is that, I don't know what started the quarrel, but he had a quarrel with the sheriff of Cork, and he was out that night to murder him, and instead he got shot and died. But the in either case, back to the keen as it's written, the part that I'm going to read to you is just another couple of little paragraphs that I really like, is how his wife discovered the body. They knew something was wrong. The horse comes in. She takes three steps. She goes to where the body is. And he's alone except for an old woman who's thrown a blanket over him. You know, the high-ranking man shouldn't be alone like that. So, and there's one other thing I'll just mention to you to listen to in passing, which is this thing about he's bleeding to death. He's been shot, or he's dead. So he takes the blood and puts it to her mouth. So, and that sort of custom is a very old Celtic custom. I found it elsewhere. And it's very strange to us, and I think strange to other people since. The Bram Stoker genre, the vampire genre that came out of that, was actually, although he wasn't from that era, he was Anglo-Irish, his mother's family was from the old schools, and it's understood that he had heard stories about that custom, you know, in his youth, and then later developed that into this vampire motif.
Dracula.
The Dracula, Bram Stoker, the Dracula thing. Yeah. So not that he heard about Art O'Leary, but he heard about that custom, which again, I heard, it goes back, I don't know the significance of it, I guess, you know, you could think of what it might mean, but it goes back, I know, deep into Celtic roots, that's what, if this person dies violently, the person grieving them, the wife anyways, or the woman, would, you know, take the blood, so... So anyways, I want to read that to you, because this part is the part that moves me about the whole literature thing. So let me just get that little bit and see if it speaks to you. Again, this is the wife, the widow speaking. "My friend you were forever. I knew nothing of your murder till your horse came to the stable with the reins beneath her trailing, and your heart's blood upon her shoulders, staining the tooled saddle where you used to sit and stand. My first leap reached the threshold, my second reached the gateway, my third leap reached the saddle. I struck my hands together, and I made the bay horse gallop as fast as I was able, till I found you dead before me, besides a little furze bush, without pope or bishop, without priest or cleric to read the death psalms for you, but a spent old woman only, who spread her cloak to shroud you. Your heart's blood was still flowing. I did not stay to wipe it, but filled my hands and drank it. My love you'll be forever. Rise up from where you're lying, and we'll be going homewards, and we'll have a bullock slaughtered. We'll call our friends together. We'll get the music going, and I'll make a fine bed ready, with sheets of snow-white linen and fine embroidered covers that will bring the sweat out through you instead of the cold that's on you." And it goes on from there with other characters, Art's sister and his father, and back to Eileen again, and the various things about who loved them the most, and about the curse on the murderer, the sheriff that caused the murder. And sort of the epilogue or the footnote to the story is that Eileen O'Connell was from this prominent family, the O'Connells, in the southwest of Ireland. And her nephew was Daniel O'Connell, who's in Irish history is the liberator. So he's the man himself. So he's sort of, to the Irish, he'd be what Abe Lincoln would be to the black Americans. You know, he basically, at least politically speaking, brought freedom to them. So, you know, out of the hardships that were there and the things, there's these sort of interesting side notes, and I find them very interesting in that historical context. So that's long enough for me. Next.